Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Well, obviously, Kyle Serafin will be with us for the rest of the hour. All hell's breaking loose. Clear purge in the White House. Pam Bondi out. Todd Blanche, the nightmare Democrat Party operative, in. And then now, Kyle Serafin has incredible sources. He's a major whistleblower. I don't know if you can probably not say the sources yet, but the word is they're about to fire Kash Patel. We'll rejoin the discussion of the pipe bombing fiasco and Bongino next segment, but let's get into this intel, red alert info you just got, Kyle Serafin.
Yeah, I'd call it medium confidence based on the general accuracy of these types of sources, but had more than two now tell me that there's a decent possibility Kash Patel is fired today and there's a total reshuffle. The question is why, and my guess is that Trump wants to make it look like it's his idea and not while he's under one specific scandal pressure from one of these people. But, I mean, let's just look at over the last, like, let's call it 10 days, Kash Patel, like, or if you add, like, even a little bit further than that, we're talking about we've got an FBI director who got caught drinking beer on camera, acting like a buffoon, spending taxpayer dollars in the middle of government shutdowns. They just had an Iranian hack and dump where they're showing that he's active on a porn site and he's made a stupid coin and he doesn't know who's going on and working for him. I've had 40 different people that we've highlighted that he's end up firing. They're going to end up getting their damn jobs back as well. Patel has been a disaster since the beginning. And it's not just me saying that. The crazy thing is I told Patel early on what to do to be successful at the FBI. My friends would have helped Dan Bongino as well. We really wanted these guys to not suck. And all they did was come in, immediately get owned by the people that they've been basically railing about for the last, I don't know, couple years. Bongino even longer than that. And what do you do when you say, hey man, you've made a career out of pointing out the problems? They show up and the first thing they do is they start doing hype videos and, you know, riding around and hanging out with the cool guys from the SWAT team and trying to wear patches and jackets and getting a fake FBI badge issued because you're the FBI director and nobody wears a badge. They got their own, like Bongino and Patel both got guns issued to them. They're flying around in private jets. I mean, they beclown themselves almost immediately. And I think the FBI recognized what that was. And listen, this pipe bomber story, for me, it's like flypaper. I think that the Bureau actually knew that Brian Cole Jr. was a terrible subject, that it was going to fall apart. There was no way they were going to be able to convict him. And unless he just rolled over and pled guilty, which he didn't, he actually got a killer of an attorney to get on and start filing these motions. You know, they would have been able to just either embarrass them by showing that they got an innocent man in jail, or now they're in the great situation where they can prove, like, not only did they not know what was going on.
Segments.
These guys basically jumped on flypaper, Alex.
I agree. Exactly, a trap. On the pipe bomb, some stations aren't carrying it right now, but finishing up, because you were getting during the break, flooded, huge national sources. They're saying it's happening. We don't want to get juked into being wrong, but it fits into an overall purge.
Medium confidence. Medium confidence. There's high, medium, and low. Okay, this is probably, I would say, at least as likely as not that we find that out today in a few minutes. The same people that were telling me that Bondi was going to be out this morning, same types of people are giving me the same kind of information coming from places where they've had very good information in the past. That's how we evaluate who our sources are. Do they have access and do they have placement? And what is their credibility rating so far? These people have good credibility so far.
And then history, you know, is somebody accurate? Yep. So you're being safe saying medium, but it sounds high, actually. Your proviso, medium.
Medium means there are games and ops being played at all times. Like my buddy Steve Baker was the victim of this. I guarantee you there was probably really good belief that the things that they were running the hit pieces on me and on you, that those came from good sources. The reason why is that people are in placement. There's all times where people are trying to run an op where they seed information to the media. They seed information to certain people to try to get it out there. I'm just being cautious. I think medium. I think it's probably more likely than not.
Even though they gave you information that was good 20 times, they could be setting you up now.
Well, they may not be. They may be getting set up by other people, too.
No, exactly. 100%. No, that's what I meant. Yeah. Yep. All right. Back in 60 seconds. Kash Patel out, though. That's the word. Who do they replace him with? Will be another horrible choice like Todd Blanche? Stay with us. I know you're the big big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier it would. I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
On the march. The Empire is on the run. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, you talk about clowns. Bongino and Patel are it. Kyle Serafin over a year ago was advising them both, warned them. And all they did was go stab them in the back to Congress and try to join the establishment, and now they see what fools they are. Word is Patel's out. Pam Bondi out, confirmed. Todd Blanche, the globalist insider, Bill Barr 2.0 in. I hope Lee Zeldin replaces him. I'm not going to hold my breath. You have the pipe bomber case exploding, and one of the suspects that investigative journalists said was a suspect, failing a polygraph of whether they were the bomber, all of that coming out. So I've been interrupting you, so much happening. Start over with the pipe bomber, how Bongino enters into this, how this is the piece of fabric, the string on the sweater that unravels it all, tying it into all of this information coming out, how they're in total panic mode. Then we'll get into the Bongino clip. Because I've told you over a year ago, the phone call with him, I've had him on dozens of times, but totally not sure. Didn't have his Fox job yet. He was about to get it. He calls up screaming at my producer. I got on the phone with him, and he's just like, you son of a bitch, I know you're giving me as the source that Hillary's in this black ambulance. And I said, no, I talked to Secret Service in Cleveland at the RNC. And he goes, well, I'm here, it's you. And I said, well, they're lying to you. He goes, you better watch your ass, blah, 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 blah. And then I never talked to him again.
He's very, very thin-skinned, very like emotional reactive in a way that doesn't make a ton of sense. What does your buddy Chase say? That he's like a boxer dog, like he's super loyal, but he's not that bright. And some of this is really coming out because it's not that bright to lose your mind on the phone with a journalist. I actually sent your staff. I sent your staff actually. It's kind of like a screen grab of, and it's in fast format, of Dan Bongino talking up the actual hit piece and the way that it works. In 2024, in the beginning of 2024, before he and I had our falling out, where I just said things that were true and he didn't like that they were true, which was really amazing about the Mar-a-Lago raid. We were on good terms until that point when I basically broke ranks with saying things that were false. I don't do that. I don't knowingly say things that are false if I can help it. And so the crazy moment was, is he goes, it's interesting that Steve D'Antuono and the FBI, and they're out there saying things in congressional testimony, and they're pointing out, Serafin, that, you know, you're really a threat, and they're trying to discredit your information about this pipe bomb story. This goes back to February of 2024, and I think I sent you guys the clip. He's out there talking up about how much I knew.
And continues the job against you. Yeah, here's the clip. Here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kyle, I've noticed you've been commenting extensively on podcasts and on your social media. I've been following it religiously, and you've had some great ideas on this. And you've kind of become a threat. I've noticed D'Antuono and others seem to be kind of downplaying your knowledge of this kind of criminal investigation into terrorism, and maybe an effort to make you go away. I can only assume. But the FBI, still has a lot of decent people who work there. I mean, the leadership is a mess, and there are certainly a lot of people there who need to go. But they're not incompetent. I mean, I've dealt with them a lot. So they've got this device that was found in front of the DNC. It appears to be a training device. It's got a rudimentary egg timer, wires, and a pipe. I mean, it looks to me like something you get on Amazon. If you were to put it in Amazon, like, give me a fake bomb, like, that would be it. How is it that the FBI you worked, which has a very, very good lab, couldn't pull DNA? Where's the video of them dropping the bomb? I mean, there's no way they're this incompetent.
I totally agree. There's no way they're this incompetent unless they chose to be this incompetent.
So forever he's saying it's a cover-up, just like J6, just like the shooter in Pennsylvania, just like Epstein. But now it all changes. So what do you think Bongino's thinking right now as all this news comes out about the polygraph and all of it comes out?
Be real honest with you. I just think it's a credibility destroyer. I think he's cooked. And I don't know how else you get around it. The crazy story, we talked about it. People should listen to the last hour and understand kind of the etymology of how this case evolved from January of 2021 into November of 2025, when it really came to a crux came to a head. November 4th, The Blaze published an article about Shawnee Kirkhoff using less than lethal force. On November the 6th, the FBI brings her in for a polygraph per the filings we're reading, and she fails it. Their words, not mine. Then on the 8th, the Blaze releases an article saying that they've matched her forensically to a gate match, and they had some other things. There's a lot more to it than that, but that was the original sort of thing that led them to believe that there was a conclusive match.
Yeah, what
match.
About her cell phone? What do we know about that? Geolocation. You said more's coming out.
It has been subpoenaed. There are some interesting questions about it. There's more information that the FBI is not releasing. We also were told that law enforcement cell phones were immediately ruled out per the Loudermilk report that came out in the beginning of 2025. So we know that law enforcement didn't get the same scrutiny. And if she had a FirstNet cell phone for work, which is a very high probability because the federal government uses them, and if she had a FirstNet phone for personal use, which I used to have when I was in the FBI, you get a special deal, you get tiered data. It's a lot faster. It allows you to communicate when things are bad. If you're in a big crowd or something, your data is prioritized above others. So she could have had a FirstNet for her home. And I heard some rumors that there were some FirstNet devices that were pinging in the area of the bombs at the time of. It's hard to substantiate that stuff.
Why would you say no government law enforcement phones in a search if you weren't trying to hide it? And then you told me earlier that they don't do that unless they're trying to hide
something. You don't rule out people. Look, if you're in a triage situation, Alex, if I was like, we're trying to find something that's imminently danger. Well, you'd start by saying, what's the most probable and the highest probability of danger? That's the exigent circumstances. But as a case goes on for 5 freaking years, you would expand out and you would definitely go back and you're like, hey, we ruled these people out early, but we've got to reevaluate what we'd call like maybe our original assumptions of the investigation.
And as you said, though, in a new filing, the government's defending this saying, oh, we had agents basically involved in missions.
Right. They had people that were there for various things. I think a lot of what the FBI sent people to do was after the fact. I actually don't think the FBI was the instigating agency. My overwhelming theory of January 6th is that it was most likely planned and executed by maybe one or a few members of Congress, one or a few members of the Capitol Police,
with NGOs,
and also potentially
and
involving
CIA,
an ATF.
CIA does regime change. I think they were.
I think the CIA could have also been overlapping that. So the question is how involved were they and when? Or were they part of the mop-up crew the way the FBI was?
And where does she
at
work
some point
now?
In time,
where does she work now, though?
She works at the CIA, of course. So they get drawn in. So you're talking about at the very minimum, I would say at the most cautious version of this, some members of Congress, high level who can actually make orders
it's an intergovernment conspiracy.
Correct. U.S. Capitol Police, members of Congress, your ATF, I think were involved in the actual day of. And then the most charitable explanation is mop up is either done by CIA or they're involved earlier on. And the FBI's mop up. They didn't know about what they were doing, but they ended up going after it. And on November 6th, they do this failed polygraph. On November the 8th, they have the story from The Blaze. On November the 12th, they open an investigation into Brian Cole, who's the autistic, My Little Pony fan guy that they ended up arresting. And that's currently now fighting for his life and his freedom. And on that same day, November the 12th, when they opened up on Brian Cole, that's when Dan Bongino gets on the phone and calls up Thomas Massie. And people can go look at their spats back and forth
and
on Twitter in the last few days.
And staffers with
correct.
President.
That's okay, when
so
that happened.
Let's shift gears now. Put bookends on it because I want to get to the other issues. There's so many. And then what this means is you're worried they're going to kill the lady that we know is totally innocent, did nothing wrong, that failed the polygraph. I mean, that's the obvious.
Honestly, I think she failed, Alex. I think she failed the polygraph because she placed those bombs, but I don't ascribe any malice to it. And by the way, I don't think it was a violent terrorist attack that took place on January the 5th when those things were placed.
She probably thought she was part of a drill. They always do that with patsies.
That's what I would that's 100% what I would believe.
Well,
look,
I hope she comes out. This all came out, actually. He told his cellmate who I had on, who called in illegally on the show about it, McVeigh thought they were doing a drill to set up white supremacists. And he goes, wait, a real bomb? Now you're going to blow up a daycare? He was like, no. So they drugged him and set him up. for it. You know, so look, we've seen this story before.
This is the kind of thing, if you're going to set somebody up, it would be much easier to get somebody who's patriotic, who wants to be a participant, who's gung ho, and by all accounts, Shawnee Kirkhoff was a good police officer. People around her liked her. Her teammates thought she was
a
reputable,
the movie
capable
Shooter.
Person.
It's not a true story, but a perfect example of how this works. Have you seen that?
Yeah,
Mark Wahlberg
you get
movie?
Somebody who's motivated by the right reasons. You get them to go do something that is innocuous and not a problem.
You're just a
and then suddenly they're in the place.
The president, and they set you up.
Yeah, and then you get the. And then look, here's how I imagine this goes down
with Mark Wahlberg, and they set him up.
You get the phone call, and they say, "Hey, I know you saw that they're looking for the person that dropped those pipe bombs, and we understand. Listen, you're never going to talk about what happened on that night, or you're never going to talk to anybody again. Real simple. But we do have a nice job for you, and you are going to be taken care of, and you are going to be safe. We're going to scrub all your social media. We're going to move you over to this new job, and you can resume your life. Unfortunately, you're going to have to cut off connections with your old friends.
CIA killers, they're going to whack her. She thinks she's safe over there, and yeah."
Well, and then you see this government filing where they're calling out like threats. Here's the crazy thing about the threat that we talked about last hour. That threat was less than 40 minutes after the public filing of something which was a subpoena that was on PACER.
The minute it comes out that she failed the polygraph, then instantly, oh God, she's in danger, so they can blame us.
That's the craziest part, because there's watching the PACER docket, and the minute that something that they didn't know was coming out
NSA
pops up, and then they send off some threat.
Watching it a long time, her case manager gets an alert. And they call their boss and say, hit team now or wait, just see if we can spend this, but get the team ready. And the team's ready in a van outside her house right now.
It's as plausible as anything. Listen, I don't know the mechanics of it. It's probably our security guy
right now. Oh, let me give you some coffee, honey. Oh, you're under a lot of stress. And they're just ready to garrote her ass right now. She's in the room right now with the guy making her coffee.
This is why I like talking to you, Alex.
No, it's a guarantee.
I don't know the answer to what the mechanics are.
The guys at your house right now, they're going to kill you when they get the order. They're going to just get like a code saying, hey, go for lunch. And they're going to just your ass and claim you committed suicide. I very much hope
that this woman understands the danger that's going on there. I hope she understands that, sweetheart.
The guys take your trash out and feed your doggy or nice to you. Those are former special ops killers that have been profiled or willing to do this stuff and like it. They're going to kill you, lady. They're waiting. The guy right there in the room with right now, look over at him. He's going to kill you. Sorry.
The scariest thing for me is that all this stuff comes out. They're going to try to blame it. It looks very easy to do that. And look, I'm not into like sensationalism. And you're giving
but
the dramatization of what that looks like.
The shit
it's freaking sensational.
You and I, we live this. Yeah. Maybe my whole life's a James Bond movie.
This is
you were
the,
telling
the
me
craziest,
about. Oh,
yeah,
they
this
said
is the craziest
I tried to shoot somebody. I'm like, oh, that happened to me. It's in the front page of the Guardian that I'm like trying to blow employees' heads off. Total lie.
Put that if they'll put the tweet back up again. I want to call out people on the timestamp so they understand how ridiculous it is. This is Joe Hanneman. You guys should follow Joe. It's at Hanneman Reports. Great follow. Super good guy. Good human being. It's from nobody@dism.com. I've gotten threats from this email address. It's just an anonymous Russian emailer. But look, Wednesday, April 1st, 1:12 p.m. The filing happened at 12:37. That's when it went up on the court's website. So from 12:37 to 1:12, decided to say, I'm armed and dangerous. Who says that? Nobody. I'm going to drive from the address that was listed in the subpoenas and shoot your client in her corrupt glow N-word face.
And then they noticed the threat immediately and say her life's in danger. So this is how this works.
Right. And then you get the filing saying it's in contempt. And by the way, that threat was actually cited. And it was part of the evidence that was given in document number 59 when they said that the defense was in contempt. I think they're in full panic mode. And my guess is that they had no idea that these guys were going to be able to put together. They probably buried that polygraph result and the interviews and all that stuff.
Whoever Cole's parents are, they hired a very credible, very straight-laced, badass prosecutor for me out of Virginia, right?
I'll actually tell you, if you guys want to pull up the Litson firm, which I actually sent over a link so they could see it, your crew should have it. The guy's name is Alex Little. He's the lead. He's got another guy on there. I think his name is Zachary. It escapes me. Look at his background on here. If you guys scroll just a little bit, Alex Little is a freaking killer. He's a former AUSA, so he's a former federal prosecutor, which means he knows how DOJ plays. But more importantly, he was a CIA political analyst. That guy actually worked over at the CIA with the top secret clearance doing analytical work before being an attorney. If you want
and
someone that's going to get into
oh,
your
God,
case,
he's bad. He's CIA. Well, so is Joe Kent. No, we have good guys there too. You've got to have them like an Indian guide for Lewis and Clark to actually
look,
do
I was
it.
At the FBI.
And the fact is, you see his action now showing he's good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know that Alex Little and I politically are on the same page, but I bet you he wants to see competent human beings do competent work. Another
guy
that's
working
with
an innocent, autistic black guy putting Supermax.
And neither do you and neither do I. Zachary Lawson is the other guy, and John Glover, all three of them at the Litson firm in Nashville. I'll tell you this. If I thought that the government was coming after me and I needed competent attorneys and I could afford them, this is who I would go and get. The Litson firm seems like they've got it dialed in.
Now,
and
you predicted when it first started that they were going to rip the government a new butthole.
Yep. And I've been told by people who have had them as their attorneys before, like that were, you know, that have these guys' clients that said these guys don't lose. They don't take cases. They're
going
to lose.
That's because they understand what's going on.
That's right. 100%.
So let's put it back here then.
This is wild.
I mean, Bongino was already done saying Epstein acted alone, wasn't a pedophile. Crooks acted alone, on and on. He was already done. It was very
just
sad.
Just gutted his credibility.
But what is he going to do now, running around like a foaming at the mouth mad dog, threatening everyone and just screaming at everybody and attacking Massey, me, you, I mean, just nonstop, you know, literally, it's insane.
Listen, there's an old expression that if you're explaining, you're losing in politics. And if you need to go out there and tell everybody like how awesome and how tough you are, those are not the tough guys that I've seen. The SF dudes, you never heard Joe Kent tell you what a badass he is, but Joe Kent is a badass. You know, Joe Kent was at a tier one special mission unit. He was a Ranger battalion guy. He was a Green Beret. Like, you don't need to have people when you have that confidence of being out there. Now, if you were a cop,
by the
way, I've
talked to guys that served with him and knew him. He was a badass of the badasses. Like
100%.
Hundreds of super deadly missions. Like, literally just slaughtering bad guys. His wife got blown up, obviously CIA. And don't you love them calling him a pussy?
It's insane. It's insane for someone like Dan Bongino to go out and he said he's a traitor and he's a villain and he's a liar and he's unscrupulous. It's a guy who held a top secret clearance for 30 years, who's been read in and been doing government work, you know, and believed it was the right thing, and who's come out and said, I have a crisis of conscience. I'm not into long-term commitments of our troops under ground war.
And I'm not
into
Israel openly running our government.
I mean, he's just saying things that make perfect sense. Yeah, a badass of the badass. Look at the stash there. That's fantastic stuff. Reminds me of some other GBs that I know that are like, I know some Green Berets. I've got friends who are Green Berets. Some of them are more exceptional than others. Anyway, Joe Kent is a very like soft-spoken. He's not the guy that's going to go out and brag. You're not going to get him on a phone call losing his mind. And then you can see what Dan Bongino's doing right now. And it's like the exact opposite.
Oh, I'd love to see Bongino in the octagon with Joe Kent. Who would you bet on?
That's not a bet. I mean, that's not fair. Like, Alex, you're in the octagon with a toddler. That's not fair either. It's just like, it doesn't make any sense. This is not a fair, matchup.
With Bongino, it's literally
close.
Like seventh grader acting tough. It's like a joke. And he doesn't know it's a joke.
He got ratioed on social media by Tom Massey on every single post, despite having 5x the followers. He's a guy that brags about ratioing people.
And then he claimed Massey's bots. No.
Right.
Have you seen the polls?
Yeah. No, nobody wants to see this. Like, this is the crazy thing. So if we see a shuffle up of the Trump administration right now, you know, maybe Donald Trump was able to pull back from the brink of all the things. The plan was, as it was told to me, 2 or 3 months into the administration, they were going to have no scalps. Nobody was going to get, you know, pushed away. And they immediately started having failings of people that couldn't meet their obligations. Remember, we had Mike Waltz. He ended up as the ambassador to Greenland or something like that. They pulled him out of the National Security Council or National Security Advisor role.
They stuck the DHS guy in California. They didn't fire him either, but now they're suddenly doing it.
They can't keep the no scalps policy because they're surrounded by incompetence and people that are self-interested actors, people that are willing to rug pull and fleece the American people. People have been kissing Trump's ass for a long time because it's very lucrative. And the people who do it make a lot of money. I'm pretty confident if we don't see, like, I don't know if there's a, I don't know if Megyn Kelly has the Steve Baker interview on right now. Maybe your staff can take a look online. But if they're not running Steve Baker's 2-hour interview that he recorded yesterday, then they got scared into spiking this.
Oh, you're saying you heard he was getting threatened out of it. Okay, let's do this, though. We're not trying to attack Bongino, folks.
No, I'm just telling you all these people.
You've got to understand. No, I'm saying we've got to discuss. Because remember, I told you over a year ago, he called a similar thing to me, like hyperventilating, cussing at me for no reason. And I'm like,
how do you have that person in a national security job? By the way, Dan Bongino didn't pass a polygraph to work for the FBI. This was reported very broadly by ProPublica.
Well, my point here is the situation, which I shouldn't get mad at such a thing. With him, he's like hyperventilating, angry. I couldn't believe he wouldn't listen. It was obviously his own deal. It had nothing to do with me. Here's a clip of him in 2016 screaming at a reporter that wrote a bad article about his congressional candidates here, whatever. Here it is.
Which he lost 3 times.
I mean, do you normally swear at people like this just when they ask you simple questions?
Just so you know,
let's
I don't give you consent. Okay, let me repeat that.
So
I can sue your ass when you do that.
Okay. So you're threatening me again. I understand. You're still acting out.
No, because you're an idiot. You don't understand the legal rules.
All right.
You
so,
have to ask someone to record them, you dope. But you're not smart enough because, again, you have an IQ issue. So I please record that and publish it so I can sue you because I don't give you...
No, I told you... No, I told you I was recording in writing.
Oh, well, you please do. Nobody reads your stuff anyway. Why
All right,
would
good.
I have a phone with you if I actually cared?
All right, good. So,
seriously.
So,
what, you think you're going to hurt my campaign?
No, I don't think I'm going to hurt your campaign because it sounds like you're losing, Dan. It sounds like you're hurting your own campaign.
Mark, my life doesn't revolve around politics.
That's why you've run for three offices in a row, Dan? It sounds like they do.
I have an actual life and a job. I'm not a loser like you.
So why are you running for an office in a city you don't live in a county you don't live in district you don't live in, or you're not a registered voter in? You don't own property there.
That's against the... Can you quote me that rule? Will you have to do that? Oh, you can't. Again, because you're not smart enough. I'm
okay,
sorry.
So you don't actually have...
You're right about politics, right?
You're not a registered voter in the district. You're not a registered voter in the district?
You're right about politics.
Are you a registered voter in the district?
You don't know the rules. No.
You're not. You're not a registered voter in the district. So let's see. You move down to Florida after losing two campaigns in Maryland. You say you're going to stay in Maryland and fight. You tuck tail, run away to Florida. You go look to run in District 18. You see you're not going to be able to win there. You try to run in District 19. You're losing there. You're like a professional political candidate who loses, Dan. You just
because
lose.
You have no idea why I moved to Florida.
I know you moved here and you wanted to run for... You wanted to... Oh, Dad, you see, why are you yelling now? An offer or something? Is that an offer?
You shut your mouth.
Hey, Dad, do me a favor. I'll handle the questions and you handle the answer.
Calm
down. Oh, Dad, you really sound like you need some help. I think you need some help. Okay.
You hear me?
Do you realize you sound like you need medication?
Why? And let me tell you.
You sound like you need medication, Dan. Maybe you need some professional help.
You have no idea. Shut the up.
I think you need professional help. I think you need professional help.
Yourself. You don't know why I'm in Florida. Because I'm...
I know you're in Florida running a race and that you're losing in it by your attitude because you're swearing and acting out.
You.
And I also know that you looked at in another district and you knew you couldn't there either.
You. Hey, listen to
so
me.
So let's see. That's three.
I'm going to expose you now.
Okay.
And when I tell everybody the real reason I'm down here... I'm going to expose your f***ing ass even more.
All right. You're and you can continue to threaten. You can continue to threaten me if you'd like.
You're a piece of shit.
Okay.
You're a lying scumbag. And it's people like you.
You haven't even established where I lied. We've already established in the record where you've lied.
Yeah. You're,
and now you're acting out and you're swearing.
Piece of
shit.
You
know,
go
f***
yourself.
All right. Well. You hung up?
So it's clear he's mentally ill, and him yelling at me was nothing like that, because I didn't rise back to it. He's like, I know you're telling him I'm your source, and you better effing stop it. I'm telling you we're going to have a problem. I'm like, dude, you haven't been on the show in 6 months. I'm at the Secret Service. Joe Biggs got the source. What are you talking about? She's in an ambulance. Later, she fell down. Everybody caught it. He's like, you better effing watch it. You don't want to mess with me. It was like his own conversation. I'm like, okay, dude, see you later. So, I mean, he's obviously mentally ill.
I have a friend who's from Long Island, and he's one of my buddies from the Air Force, and he had this great expression that I always try to remember. Whoever angers you owns you. That reporter owns Dan Bongino, owned Dan Bongino. Right now, Tom Massey owns Dan Bongino. He forced Dan Bongino to put a Republican primary candidate on his show to try to knock out Tom Massey. You've got the Republicans running like $7 to $10 million in attack ads on a Republican when they're in danger of losing the House, which I think they're going to do in November, and they're spending their money going after Tom Massey. Like, that matters. Like he still at least keeps your majority. No, we've got stupidity. We've got ego. We've got people that are owned because they're emotional and they're reacting ridiculously. And so all of that stuff, I don't know. If Trump cleans house on it, good on him.
Well, listen, you know the same reporter I know. You've talked to her. He calls up and screams at her all the time. The guy's a complete lunatic. Who has the energy to just scream at people all day? We'll be right back. Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigly, our sponsor, has a really high quality private label, top selling brand that we were able to private label. We're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. And then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly, with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
You know, I was into comic books and science fiction until I was about 8. Then I started reading history books. I got addicted to that. So I don't claim to be an expert on anything, but in general, I have a lot of information. So, and I've also studied psychology and the brain some. And they talk about the unconscious. You got that. You got the subconscious, the collective group unconscious and all that subconscious. But if you study, you know, any famous criminologist who's really successful, they'll tell you they get enough data, get immersed in it, they'll just wake up in the middle of the night and they'll have a hunch that almost always is, you know, leads them to the thing that's the next hunch that's right. And it's that the unconscious brain is hundreds of times more powerful than the conscious brain, the narrowly focused cerebral cortex, because we're really so smart and we can dial into it all constantly. We just be like, because there's so much happening. But I had one of those moments while I was hit the can real quick. where it just hit me. And I know it's right, but I get this, my brain's like, no, this is it. Trump is completely burnt out. He's completely surrounded. He's got all these crazy advisors. He's trying to be positive. That's, he's brought up like that. He was a big self-help guy, followed all that. And now he sees he was lied to by these other groups, said to Levin, you know, you're evil and bad, but you tricked me, so I still love you. It was like, you too, Fredo, you too. That's what I interpreted of that. And so now Trump is flailing around, firing Bondi, probably Patel, because they didn't do anything, brings in the guys, the interim that's really behind it. Maybe he does bring in somebody better. But here's the thing. He's been so unpredictably going bad the last 6 months, and I'm not just hoping this. He could go right back the other direction. That's why they try to keep him isolated. That's confirmed, and don't want anybody around him to talk to him. This happened in the first administration where I talked to him all the time. It's headlines. The main jobs of the chief of staff is keeping away from Alex Jones, because he was just, whatever I said was like, oh, yeah. And he called my wife up and tell her how great I was for like 10 minutes and stuff. It was really, Trump is weird, man. I mean, it's like, he's autistic. Whatever he's focused on, he loves. And that same thing about Cherish and all this in his speech yesterday, he was telling me this all the time. And, you know, but the point is, Trump's weird. And he's definitely burnt out now. And so as bad as all this is, look at all the good coming out of the crashing out. And we knew Bongino was going to crash out even worse, but my God, this is spectacular. I feel sorry for him, but this is actually an opportunity to wake people up even more, is what I'm trying to say. And so when I say I had this big epiphany during the four-minute break, it's that the way Trump started zigging and zagging here, I think he's going to do a bunch of good stuff and then a bunch of bad stuff. That's the pattern I'm picking up, and I think this is going to be explosively insane, entertaining, and dangerous. Kyle Serafin, what do you think of that gestalt I just threw out?
Yeah, I think that's all the same thing. That's kind of where we started. We started talking about that scene in Boondock Saints. It's chaotic. It's entertaining. It's dangerous. They kill a cat. There's all this other kind of crazy stuff. When people start doing things that you can't predict, part of me wants to see where it all goes. I'm kind of okay with the chaos because I don't like where the ordered sort of handling is what it looked like. I've never heard Trump sound as old or as tired or as bored with his own BS. Like he gave that speech, that 10-minute speech last night, 9-minute, whatever it was. I listened into it and I went, I've never heard him sound as bored by his own rhetoric than that night. He's out there and he's like, you know, everyone says America is like the hottest country. And you're like, we're not talking about a club here. We're not talking about a hotel that people want to book reservations at. We're talking about our country. I don't care if people think we're a hot country or not a hot country. I'd like it to be an economically solvent country.
And then he's like, look at you, Mark, you're really evil, but you're my sweetie.
It's just so weird to listen to somebody say things like, you know, and then we did a Midnight Hammer and it was a bombing. It was the beautiful B-2 bombers, the beautiful thing, the hottest country thing, this like real estate hype language. It's old, it's tired, it's bored. He sounds bored by it.
Listen, it sounds like he's sleepwalking.
I had somebody just DM me a minute ago and say, you know, like, I'm hoping that Donald Trump is recognizing his own mortality at this moment. And look, I think Trump is kind of like a nuclear reactor. Like, you don't have to like him. You don't have to love him. You don't have to think anything other than the man has a freaking go button with minimal sleep, nonstop. He's always hustling and hyping.
He's a freak.
It's not my style. I don't love it.
By the way, I talked to him. He literally sleeps 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and I don't think that's necessarily great, but it works for him, and he's not young. I mean, he's older than my dad, and he's still functioning. So, like, listen, all of that, and my dad's super functional too, but Donald Trump is dialed in for as much as he's dialed in for that age, but, like, time comes for us all. It's undefeated, and you hope at some point in time someone looks around and goes, crap, I'm 80. A bunch of my friends have died off. A bunch of my friends are dying off. I'm going to die in prison if this thing doesn't go right, and this is what I keep hoping that somebody in the Trump administration will remind him. Like, if you don't reform the DOJ, if you don't reform the FBI, and like, yeah, is it my bugaboo because I work there? It is. But like, I've also seen what happens
it is the hard key weak point.
It's the thing that kills us.
And strong point. That's where we reform things.
It is the thing that went after Americans under the last administration. It's the thing.
You and I, like 2 days after I got one, you got one. We still keep getting the subpoena notices of secret subpoenas. I mean, they're investigating us right now.
Yeah. Let's put it in real simple terms, folks. If you've never gotten a notice that you were about to go up against the most dangerous, potentially criminal enterprise in the history of the world with an unlimited budget, an unlimited attention span, and unlimited attorneys to fight you in a system that's
like,
basically
all the time
rigged.
We get a notice, AT&T, yeah. And you're like, what have I done? You haven't, but you just know the wolves are out there.
Yeah, I had a conversation with somebody in politics in DC. And the statement was something to the effect of, there are multiple nation states that are probably compromising my phones, and probably our own government as well. And so, you know, once you just assume that everything that you're doing is public, which is my assumption, like I assumed that from the minute I went public with my story, Alex, I was just like, I don't have any more secrets. Like whatever secrets I thought I was going to have, the time to hide them was not now. It's too late. So whatever I go into, if they had dirt on me, they would have done it. If they had things that showed you shot at your staff or waved a gun around and tried to kill somebody, they would have gotten you with it. The crazy thing is that the people that actually have those secrets, that have been shown those secrets and then know that they're owned.
Yeah, but who runs this manual? I'm a problem for them. You shoot guns at people. It's a manual.
They must. I mean, it's a great discrediting thing. I love guns. Like, if you tried to come after my firearms rights, that would be the red line for me. I told my last boss, I'm like, if anybody in the federal government ever decides to come for me and try to collect firearms, I'm going to war. I hate that because I'm probably going to die doing so. But it's all over at that point, because that's the last freedom for me.
That's how 1776 started. Okay,
you come for the guns.
So the limited time we have.
We live in Texas.
Looking at this total meltdown and looking at what are you hearing about? Is Todd Blanche just the interim, or are they really going to bring in Lee Zeldin, or what's happening?
I don't know. I'm seeing it trend. I actually only heard that Pam Bondi was out, but I don't know what the long term plan was on that. So I won't speculate.
Well, they're saying Lee Zeldin could be the replacement.
I saw it. Yeah, I saw that. And that would be fine. It seems like Lee Zeldin made some pretty good moves at EPA. The things that he said all lined up with the things that I was hoping for. Look, at the end of the day, Donald Trump's agenda that he ran on, whether anybody wants to convince themselves that war with Iran was something we were always doing, it wasn't. Donald Trump's agenda, the reason that he won a coalition of people that otherwise wouldn't have voted for Donald Trump, but looked at the alternative and said a domestic agenda with affordability, with an America focus, with a constitutional focus, like trying to de-weaponize government, a guy who's already been attacked by government agencies, who says he's going to abolish the IRS and we're going to have tariffs, but we're not going to have an IRS anymore. And we're going to go new taxes on tips and we're going to look after the working
class.
That's
all gone now. He now says
that was the win.
He says, forget Medicare, Medicaid. We are a war economy. Have you seen this clip?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's nuts because it's the exact opposite of what he ran on. That's like the number one way you could go and crumble your brand. And unless there's like a just kidding, this was an April 1st, you know, April Fool's Day joke, which I don't think it was. Then somebody guided you so far away from your principles. One of the craziest things that they do, though, this is an intelligence tactic. This is a sales tactic. This is like a thing that people do. I think this is probably what happened to Dan Bongino as well, since we were talking about him in the last hour. I think the best way to get someone to buy in is to convince them that your idea is their idea, the kind of inception move.
No, you predicted it. You made him feel important, bubble wrapped him. So let's get into this. Since I mentioned it,
I think they did the same thing to Trump. I think they've been doing the same thing to Trump, unfortunately.
No, that's exactly what we know they've done the last 10 years. And it just happened again, mm-hmm. even worse. Since I mentioned it, let's just play the club. Here is clip 30, because I'd like to say something and not show it. This is Trump. That it's not possible to deal with daycare, Medicare, and Medicaid because we're in a war. And then he told Bloomberg and the new economic plan is cutting a bunch of social stuff when the country's in deep trouble and in a recession or depression. It's all going to go for war now. Even if you're going to do this, you don't say this. Like, this is literally committing seppuku. Here it is.
Because the United States can't take care of daycare. That has to be up to a state. We can't take care of daycare. We're a big country. We have 50 states. We have all these other people. We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. You got to let a state take care of daycare, and they should pay for it, too. They should pay. They have to raise their taxes, but they should pay for it. And we could lower our taxes a little bit to them to make up. It's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things, they can do it on a state basis. You can't do it on a federal. We have to take care of one thing, military protection.
Okay, so the big no-no since I got involved in politics 30-plus years ago is you don't touch Medicare and Medicaid. He's literally saying it, and now the legislation says basically cut federal funding for it. Suicide. I mean, it's just
That's jumping on the third rail of politics, isn't it? I mean, you're just not supposed to ever say it. You can think about it. You can try to do it. You can try to sneak it in, but you're never supposed to do it. You know what's crazy, Alex? And this is something that will probably upset some of your audience, but I still think it's true, and I can't shake it. Donald Trump's not a conservative. If anybody's honest about it, he's not a conservative. The thing he just said, you know, that the federal government can't be involved in daycare. I'm like, I agree with you.
No, there's no reason. No, I agree. But to say the
state don't
want
to
hear it.
And then he said the state has to do it. It's like, what do you mean the state has to do it? Nobody needs to be involved in daycare. Your job is daycare. If you have children, I got four. Guess whose job that is? Mine.
But
guess
most
what it has
of the
to
states
do with the state
are bankrupt. He knows that. And the point, exactly. The point is you don't say that regardless.
Oh, yeah. It's a dumb thing to say. But the craziest part was we listened to what Donald Trump's agenda was.
Look at these maps. And he could actually declassify if he wants to, but he's showing classified bombing maps on Air Force One. He's like, there's no filter.
Yeah, agreed. Terrible decision theater is what we would call that. Just bad ideas all around. But the sad thing was, is that he almost gets to the point where he's saying the thing that we were looking for. Remember, his push was, we're going to make America more affordable. We're going to eliminate government. We're going to go and bring back freedom.
Oh, no, no,
we're going
to
defend the Constitution.
I actually like what he's saying, but you got to
love the
process.
Agenda.
But the point is, the reason I guarantee they were pulling their hair out when he said it. The point is, he's off the rails, even from any perspective. Yeah. So let's get to this right now. Here he is on Erica Kirk. Well, let's hit Charlie Kirk now, because I wanted to spend time with you on this.
Okay.
So obviously the ATF comes out and says, inconclusive, we can't say this is the bullet, 30-06. Any idiot knows, you'll shoot someone with 30-06, 150 yards, it goes through, give me a break. I don't care what they say, even half-loaded it would do that. Okay, I've shot elk at 1,000 yards and blast right through them. Okay, actually 300 Win Mag, I don't like 30-06, but the point is I've shot a few things with 30-06, blown pigs' heads off with it, you know, the whole side of the head blows off, 500 yards. So Trump comes out and says, sue everybody's ass off that's questioning the official narrative of Charlie Kirk's assassination. That's a quote. So, wait a minute. I'm not saying Israel did it up front. I'm saying Tyler Robinson thinks he did it. There could have been others involved. I broke the Cash Patels in the meeting with Tulsi Gabbard saying we're not looking at foreign involvement when they had leads. Joe Kent, I broke that back at, 6 days after he got killed. I broke that. I had that from high-level people in there who were scared to say it. They said, we're scared. You can have this. You're crazy enough. Here it is. I'm on record. Articles, everything. Now
yep,
here it
I
is.
I was on with you not long after that, and we talked about it 100%.
Yeah, so Joe Kent, all that. So it's one thing if people say Erica Kirk killed him, which I don't see any evidence of, you should sue them. No. He's saying if you question any of this, well, that Trump, that's going to make people look even more. And so now with this ATF finding, to their credit, not lying about it, where does this go? Joe Kent says, yeah, I'll testify. They say, oh, you want Tyler Robinson to go free? No. He said, if I'm asked if there was intelligence, we were told not to look at accomplices, domestic or foreign, I'll do it. 10 people, 3 days before, 2 days before, 1 day before, he'll be dead when he comes, and he's dead. I talked to TPUSA head people, and they said, no, Cash Patel said, yeah, they might be involved, but we can't prove it, so we're not going to prosecute them. Okay, if I'm asked, I'll testify. So, I'm making phone calls. I don't just sit around on air and read news articles. I've got sources. So there's definitely a cover-up now. The question is, who is involved? Where does this go? But here's Trump jumping the shark.
A thing called Happy Easter. Do we have that? Everyone happy? Anybody that doesn't want... Hello, darling. Wow, this is a good table. I like that table. You're doing well, right? Okay. I think you should sue him, but, I told her, you ought to sue some of these. They're so jealous of Erica. I said, you ought to sue their... I can say it. You're not allowed to say this. You have to be nicer. Sue their ass off.
Yuck.
Where is this going? And just the general.
I don't know. That's like stream of consciousness. That's a guy who's having thoughts out loud on a national scale and either not. I don't know if he doesn't recognize that everything he says is recorded and it's publicized nationally and it makes every clip, or whether he just doesn't care anymore. And it's probably the doesn't care anymore thing. That's not a great thing. I'm not a big Erica Kirk fan. I wasn't a big Erica Kirk fan. I didn't know Charlie Kirk. I didn't like Erica Kirk before that. I don't like pageant people. They're showy. They're not Kyle Serafin type of people. We're a lot more down to earth type of folk. But like the craziest thing is this: they're doing all these claims. The president is weighing in on whether you can sue somebody. None of these things have been adjudicated in a court of law. They haven't even done the preliminary hearing. Alex, do people realize how far back and how far down the line we are from any sense of what justice looks like in that case?
We'll talk about
they haven't
the process,
even decided,
but also. What do you make of the ATF saying we can't match the bullet?
Yeah, that's fine. Listen, there's so much evidence there that they're dealing with. And I have no idea. Like I said, I listened to what Joe Kent said, and that sounds totally reasonable. They should have followed some leads. It sounds like they missed it. It sounded like a pissing contest. I actually think all these things are connected, including the pipe bomber story. The way I understand it is, and I don't know if you know this, but the pissing contest that began over the Charlie Kirk assassination, where Cash Patel was immediately embarrassed. You know that? He was up in New York. He was having dinner. They couldn't even fly the evidence response team out to Utah. He had the jet, so they were not able to do that. That's not the
FBI
first time that's ever happened. Right. He wanted the jacket. He wanted to make sure he was doing this. So you've got Patel, who's already embarrassed. Then he comes out. Then he flies out there. Then he's freaking out and trying to micromanage the Salt Lake City investigation that was going on. And then they have this pissing contest over turf war, basically, like whether or not Joe Kent and NCTC has the authority or the responsibility or even the purview to go in and do any follow-up on domestic and or foreign involvement. Theirs would have been the foreign end of it. The FBI says no. Cash Patel puts his foot down. We hear there's a big fight in the Oval Office. J.D. Vance is mediating and all this kind of crap, and that's fine. And then you go on, and then they try to jam up Joe Kent by saying that he was leaking information to Steve Baker, which was all related to the J6 pipe bomb story, because there's this like blood feud there. Meanwhile, they haven't even decided whether or not there's probable cause to believe, not whether or not he's guilty, but whether there's probable cause to believe that Tyler Robinson is even the guy. Yes, he's in prison. Yes, there are these like, you know, the claims, and I haven't dug into it enough to find out like how the confession goes down and what the claims are in the confession, but those can be contested. But they haven't even evaluated the probable cause end of it. They charged him through an information, which is not an indictment. It didn't go in front of a grand jury. It's a different system than most people are used to. And they're still trying to mediate whether or not, when that preliminary hearing comes out, to decide whether they even arrested the right guy to even go to a trial and continue the rest of the litigation.
And you said right back when it happened, you said the fact that they didn't use a grand jury was going to be problematic.
Well, that's the way that it works. Apparently, I'm not familiar with the way that local prosecutions happen in Utah. It's different than the federal system. So I had to read up on it. And as I understand it, when you have a serious felony allegation, they forego the grand jury. That's for smaller things. And for major felony allegations and capital crimes, they go through information, which means that you get a statement. It's an affidavit that's published and sworn and affirmed to by the law enforcement agency. Then the district attorney goes out there and issues the warrants, and they go and get the arrest. And then they go and they do a preliminary hearing. Usually that's done in 30 days. In most cases, you're not going to have the volume of evidence. You're not going to have nearly the sort of circus that's been surrounding the Charlie Kirk case.
Why do you think the sheriff resigned 2 hours after it came out that the bullet didn't match?
Maybe his political aspirations. Maybe he's tired of the story. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like all of this thing has become an absolute nightmare. I think it's politically toxic. It's like a radioactive thing. It's kind of like talking about whether you're going to eliminate entitlements. If you're involved in a case like this, and basically everybody that's involved in it is going to have someone screaming at them. There are people that are on the TPUSA side and they love Erica Kirk and they think that everything is on the up and up. And, you know, anybody who says anything about whatever the government narrative is a problem. And I've been attacked and you've been attacked for either, like, whatever your side is, you're going to get attacked.
People just making up horse crap about it, too, saying it's conspiracy.
Yeah, they'll just make up their own thing. But if you're a local sheriff and you plan on, like, living in that community and you just don't want to be part of that anymore, like, I could also see why. Most people who are elected as sheriffs, it's not, like, their first job in law enforcement, and it's not a job that they necessarily have to have. It's usually a retirement gig for a lot of these guys. So I'll have to look into that guy specifically. But, you know, I've got friends that are retired FBI agents. They're already getting a pension. If they had their choice, they probably would just go fishing and hunting and camping.
Well,
and then it's like, oh, I can also be a sheriff.
The sheriffs are saying, they say day one the FBI came in and just railroaded it, cut them out.
And it was stupid. Look, I have friends that work out of that office. I have friends that were on the phone calls that Patel was coming in. They were screaming and trying to do a social media management campaign. I actually just reread one of my tweets from that time where Cash Patel was crying to everyone that they weren't giving him pictures of Tyler Robinson so he could tweet him out, that he and Dan Bongino were collaborating at the time in front of the entire Salt Lake City office of the FBI. You know, I'm going to tweet this, and then FBI.gov is going to tweet this, and then Bongino's going to tweet this, and I'm going to respond to this. They were doing a social media managing PR campaign when their friend, theoretically, was just put in the ground and horrifically murdered, and they were more interested in how it was going to play in the press.
And don't they get it? If they delivered a real investigation, they'd be loved. Instead, what does Patel think when he gets removed? I think it's coming. Does he think he can go do podcasting again? He's a joke.
I have no idea. Like, I don't even know what that meant. Like, he snowed me, and he snowed me because I really needed an ally that was going to... Alex, I just needed someone that was going to do the thing they said, that was going to be the person they represented themselves to be. And I think a lot of people that have looked at Patel, if you're not blinded by the love of Trump administration, if you can just look at people honestly and say, Trump does good things and bad things. Some people live up to the hype. Some people don't. Some people, the administration, were not good. Pam Bondi was one of those that a lot of people pointed out.
Yeah, but you don't take pleasure in their failure, I know.
There's no pleasure in people's failure. Like, they failed me.
But
failed you.
He and his superstar, number one country singer in the world.
Country music sensation.
Whatever she calls herself. They're suing you for just questioning whether she can be foreign intel, which is totally your right.
They're suing me for reporting on a story that was going for months and had millions and millions of impressions.
Sure,
and
it's really about you criticizing Cash. He's hiding behind her. So How's that little lawsuit going?
I haven't heard anything. We're waiting on a judge to decide what he thinks of our motions. Look, if we're being totally honest about my impression about what that lawsuit was, Cash Patel didn't sue me. His girlfriend did, but she sued me on behalf of Cash Patel. And it looks like Cash Patel wrote the original filing. It's all very centric on Cash Patel and Serafin's a jerk. And he called him an Indian, which he's freaking of Indian descent. So I don't know how that's a problem. He calls himself an Indian. it all looks really like he's mad because I was exposing that he was a hack. And he was a hack from day one. It was really obvious to me. The first and most obvious problem you recognize when you've given somebody advice and helped them get into a position and you've given them all the right answers to the questions in the test is when they don't take your call after they pass the test. Cash Patel got sworn into the FBI, and that was the last time I heard from him. That was damning to like right on itself.
And then he secretly told Grassley you were mad, and Grassley didn't buy it.
And then he went after my friends. He actually even rehired my friend Steve Friend and then fired him like
Why
the same week.
Why would you go after the people that helped you?
Yeah, do you know how dumb it is to go after people that are better investigators, that are smarter than you, and then I have nothing to lose. Like, there's nothing Cash Patel can do other than maybe try to take my life or my freedom away, which I think they would like to do that. You can't come after me. I don't even own my house, man. I lost my house when I worked for the FBI.
Bad, I might come after you. You'd only do good, but I would never just start a fight with you for no reason.
It's a crazy thing to pick an enemy that's already told you they're willing to take on the entire federal government. Who the hell are you? You're Cash Patel. You're this bumbling fool who apparently is on a, you know, like X videos website and you're flying around on the jet. And like people are lining up
well,
the login times on his porn site.
I don't want to be full of humor or anything, but I'm getting a little bit of satisfaction from afar. I know you're a Catholic and a Christian, so you don't revel in it, but you've got to control yourself a little bit with satisfaction right now because you're being vindicated.
And honestly, I feel like it's like vindicating more than anything else, but it's not like a pleasure. It's kind of sad because here, if you gave me the choice, hey, would you rather the guys that you helped get in or that you were
Save
lobbying on behalf
of do a great job?
Do the freaking thing you said you were going to do. What if they just did the thing and they went in? What if Pam Bondi was awesome and everybody was like, maybe she's not good on gun rights. And then they just kicked ass and, you know, disbanded the ATF. I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah. So do you think there's any chance what I said earlier that Trump wakes up and we get another crazy move to doing the right thing?
I don't know if it'll be the right thing. I think we're in a time of chaos right now. That's what it looks like to me. Like I said, it feels like that Boondock Saints scene where things are breaking. People are like, he's making moves that are good and bad at the same speech. I don't know who the audience
Crash
was.
Crash the market, exploded oil prices.
Yeah, just like not good things happening. It all comes back to like regular people because I'm a very regular person.
Well, the whole
person.
World sees him say, it's your problem, Middle East and Europe, the Strait of Hormuz. When we
and we're going to be here for weeks or not, or maybe more, and we're going to bomb you to the Stone Age, and we're going to do some other stuff. We're going to hit their oil and gas. You listen to all the things he said, and America's the hottest country, and you're like, what is this guy about? All I know is I talked to a random dude who works in my county, who works in maintenance. He's got, you know, calluses on his hands, and we were sitting there talking at a gun shop yesterday. He may even hear this for all I know. And the two of us are talking about gun stuff, and he's telling me that it's too expensive for him to drive his work truck into work, and he's got to take his motorcycle because he's got to worry about, you know, the dollars and cents of how much gas costs. And gas costs $1.50 or more per gallon than it used to. And you know that here in Texas. We got cheap gas prices compared to most people.
And that means when it's pouring down rain all day, like in Austin, you're riding around a motorcycle and pouring down rain.
Yeah, are you going to go out and vote for Republicans because you think Donald Trump's
going to work? You're driving 80 miles an hour, 7 miles an hour. That hurts. Yeah, just
yeah,
an example.
It sucks.
Kyle, do a few more minutes with us. 2 more minutes, we'll let you go. Because then Mike Lindell's coming up. I'm going to ask Mike what he thinks of Trump now.
In a world where globalists, depopulationists, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the info war today by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com and picking up a bottle of Zeolite.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.